All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you folks to pray for Pastor Brian while he's away and pray he gets some much needed rest and stress relief. And of course, remember to pray for Eunice as well, and just pray that they have a great vacation. And I appreciate Gabe filling in. He did a great job. Great job. He said, would you mind? What if they all said, yeah, I mind? Then what would you have done? He said, well, turn anyway, right? Yeah. But it was awesome. Thank you, Gabe. I appreciate your help. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want us to look at verse 14, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, starting at verse 14. And here Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. By the way, go back to verse 15 again. You see that able to make thee wise unto salvation through what?
Faith.
All right, not works.
Amen.
All right, so mark that. You ever have to say to somebody that they're not saved by their good works? Of course, all their righteousnesses, God said, are as filthy rags, so they really don't have a whole lot to brag about, do they? But anyway, not works, faith. Now, verse 16, all scripture. Now, how much of it?
All.
Okay, all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, let's pray for just a moment, and I want to use primarily verse 15, and I want to speak to you tonight on the greatness of the Scriptures, the greatness of the Scriptures. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come now and just ask your blessings to be upon us. I pray you'll bless the preaching of the Word of God, and may it influence us, may it touch our hearts, may it draw us closer to you. And Father, I pray that we'll be encouraged by what we hear this evening, realizing the greatness of the Bible. And we depend upon your Holy Spirit and trust in your Holy Spirit to preserve and to keep this Bible pure so that we can know your mind and know your will. And so, Father, bless this evening. I pray that you will help me as I preach, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. Just give us your hand of blessing, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. You folks know, because others have come here to preach and they've told you this. I haven't said a whole lot about it, but you folks know that for about the last probably 13 or 14 years, I had to take some strong stands about the Bible. And I did that not reluctantly at all. I did it on purpose. And there was a division in fundamentalism. And several folks were kind of going in that direction of doing away with the King James Bible and substituting it with some others. And I just was not comfortable with that. And I tell you, I just happen to believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
All right, I just believe that. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. And when it says all, it means all. All right, so now I don't get as many invitations to come and preach on Mondays and Tuesdays anymore, but I'm fine with that. I don't like traveling. Airports, oh, they're cursed. They're like serpents. They're cursed. And I've enjoyed not traveling as much, and I really have. And so I had to do what I felt like I had to do. And now we need to understand a couple of things about the Bible. Here's a couple of verses for you just to think about. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, you were born the first time of corruptible seed. All right? You were born the first time of corruptible seed. And that's the reason why when your little precious deer began to get a little mature and, grow up a little bit, they lied to you without blinking. All right? And the reason they did that is because you're their parent. All right? They got that sin nature from you. Corruptible seed. All right? Seed that was impacted by sin. All right? So being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, what is the incorruptible seed? Well, Peter says that the incorruptible seed is the Word of God. He said, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All right, now that living part, that's the inspiration part of the Bible. But then you have, Peter said, and abideth forever. So there is the preservation of the Scriptures. You see, the Bible very clearly states, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, if we must have the Word of God in order to live, don't you think that if this is not the Word of God, we ought to just close up shop, lock all the doors, and then put a sign up that says, we're all out looking for the Word of God. All right? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if this is not God's preserved, infallible word, let's close everything down. Let's all get in our vehicles, sell our houses, cash in the money, get your CDs and everything else, and let's just go find the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, I don't want to go to hell, do you? I just don't. I don't want to go to hell. And so if this is not it, then somebody better do something, because we're in trouble if this is not the Word of God. Now, I just happen to believe it is.
Amen.
Okay, Bible verse here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is a powerful statement. A powerful statement. And it comes to us this evening with great importance to understanding the Bible. God's Word, the Bible. Now, sadly, there are more and more people who no longer believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. There's a lot of people today that have shifted their position on that. And they just don't think that the Bible is everything it says that it is. All right, so you got one of two options. You can either believe God, or you can believe some theologian that told you that this Bible is not right. All right, now I'm going to believe God. I remember having a professor who didn't come out and say it, but he ended up getting fired like 2 weeks later. So he must have inferred it enough, and I caught it. But he inferred that this Bible that I read to you from, the King James Version of the Bible, is not inspired of God. Now, they did not go for that at all when I was in college. All right, so we need to get settled on that fact. And, you know, there's been, for well over 100 years now, those whom we would refer to or call apostates who do not believe that the Bible is God's word. And again, they may not believe it, but I certainly believe that it is the word of God, and they will find out one of these days.
Right.
I don't want to take my chances one of these days. I want to believe it now. So I know that there are two very important things that this verse tells us about the scriptures, and I want to share them with you this evening. First of all, let's consider the inspiration of the scriptures. Now, I'm going to share a couple of things with you tonight, but I'm not going to just expect you to take my word for it. I'm going to show you what I'm going to teach you, and I don't know how you could argue with the word of God, to be honest with you. If you want to do that, that's between you and the Lord, but I would think twice before I argue with what thus saith the Lord. Now, the first thing that we should notice about this 15th verse is the fact that Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. That means that Genesis was given by inspiration of God. That means, dear friend, that the entire Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses in your Bible, were given by inspiration of God. I've had these folks that have said to me, well, you know, that's a bunch of fables. No. It's not a bunch of fables. I mean, even the Lord Jesus spoke about the things that were mentioned and taught and shown to mankind in the Pentateuch. The Lord Jesus quoted it over and over and over. He believed that it was the Word of God. So why shouldn't we believe that it's the Word of God? You say, well, I just don't understand how there could be a worldwide flood. Well, if you don't believe that, just drive out 68 and go through Sidling Mountain. And you will see the results of that worldwide flood. When they cut a hole through the mountain, you can just see layer after layer after layer where the earth convulsed as it was drying out. As the water was coming back into the fountains of the deep. And I'm telling you, folks, you can't deny what God says has happened.
Exactly.
Or if you do, you don't have a leg to stand on. That's just your opinion. That's just your opinion. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, that's God's opinion.
Amen.
There's a difference. All right? You're relying upon some man who told you what to believe. And all I'm doing is reading the Bible, and when it says, in the beginning, God, that's good enough for me.
Amen.
All right? Everybody okay? So, all Scripture. That phrase also means that the four Gospels are inspired of God. The four Gospels. That also means that the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul and the book of the Revelation and the general epistles all in the New Testament, these are all inspired of God. And that phrase also means that from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's inspired of God.
Amen.
We have the Word of God. Hold your place here for just a minute and go back to page 1. All right? Page 1 in your Bible. And that's Genesis chapter 1. All right? So page 1. All right, now look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Everybody got it? All right. In the beginning, who? Well, that's the same one that Paul said inspired the book, right? Okay, so in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, folks, notice that. In the beginning, God. Now, we know from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same, the Word, the same. By the way, the Word is Jesus. All right? And so John said that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things. And there is nothing that was not made by Him.
Right.
All right? He made this planet. He also made this solar system. He also made this universe.
Right.
That's our God. All right? Now look. There it is. In the beginning, we have the Lord Jesus mentioned. He's the Creator. All right, we have the Father mentioned. We have the Father mentioned the first verse. In the beginning, God. That's God the Father. And then we have the Lord Jesus mentioned. Look at verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Did not our Savior Himself say that He is the light of the world? All right, so you've got God the Father in the first verse. You've got God the Son in the third verse. And then you see in verse 2, and the Spirit, capitalized, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there is all three parts of the Godhead. Amazing, huh? All right, now look at this. Look at this. Let's get to the middle here where it says, verse 2, and the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now watch this. And God, what? Folks, listen. I have not read but two verses in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the very first two verses in the Bible I have not read but two verses, and already I am confronted with the fact that God speaks. Pretty cool, huh? Folks, why don't we want to believe? I mean, why don't we want to believe God? Is it intellectual pride, do you think? You know, well, my opinion. Who cares what your opinion is? Did anybody knock on your door and say, excuse me, professor, I'd like your opinion? No. No. But that's the way our world seems to be today. Nobody wants to just read the Bible and say, oh, okay. But that's us. That's man. All right, so notice it's so obvious in Genesis 1:3, it can't be overlooked. I mean, you're not going to see any of this in Shakespeare. And you're not going to see any of this in the writings of Milton or of Tennyson or of any of the poets, you know, that everybody just, you know, feigns over. You're not going to read anything about this in Mark Twain, no. But you only have to read two verses in the very front of the Bible, and then you are told very emphatically that God said. The very words that you are reading are the words of God Almighty.
Amen.
That's pretty good, I think. I think. Now, notice, first of all, the composing of the word. You see, Paul tells Timothy that the Bible was given by inspiration. All right, now let's break that word inspiration down, because I'm going to ask you this question and you answer me, okay? Inspiration means, fill in the blank. What'd you say? God breathed. False. It doesn't. Anybody? How many of you thought it was God breathed? Yeah, you've heard that all your life, hadn't you? You've heard that all your life. You know where that came from? It came from a dictionary. Yeah. That's man's interpretation of inspiration. It came from a dictionary. Now, that's good to know, isn't it? Let's break the word down. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word is. Got it. Here it is. Theopneustos. Now, you know theo, that means what? God. Exactly right. And pneustos means it means spirit. Spirit. All right, so you got all scripture is given by God's spirit.
Amen.
That's what it means. That's what the word means. I got another one for you. The word gospel. What have you heard? What's it mean? Good news. No, it does not. You say, well, where did that come from? That came from a dictionary. That's where it came from. Gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. God's spelling. God's telling us about Jesus. Granted, it is good news. But that's not what it means. The word means God's word. Now, you see that little word pneuma that I said Theo Neustos, and the word is the word pneuma, and it is almost always translated as spirit in your Bible. Almost every time, except for a few. As a matter of fact, 322 times it translates as spirit. And sometimes it is translated as capital G, ghost. All right, like the Holy Ghost. All right, same word. And then it's done that 91 times. And then one time it is translated life once. And then also one time it is translated as wind. Okay? But never, listen to me now, never is this word translated as breathe or breathed. Never, not one time. So where did that come from? Oh, it means God breathed. No, it doesn't. That came from somebody's dictionary. And that's all it takes, folks, is for one person to write something critical about the Bible or about Jesus or about God or about the Holy Spirit, and everybody and his dog jumps on it.
That's right. Yep.
Even though it's wrong. You say, boy, Israel's just always so misunderstood. Yeah, just like their God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a reason for that. They're God's people. They're God's people. That's why they're so misunderstood. I heard an interview today where Danny Aiello was speaking at the United Nations a couple of weeks last week, and he had the Palestinian spokesman there, and he just looked him dead in the eye and said, will you denounce Hamas? All you do is sit here and criticize Israel. You're just sitting here saying that Israel is killing innocents. Well, what do you think Hamas did? All right, what do you think they're still doing? And he said, will you denounce Hamas? And he just sat there and looked at him. Will you do it? He never answered. I'm asking you, sir, will you do it in front of all these people? Will you denounce Hamas? And he said, the reason you won't denounce Hamas as a terrorist organization is because you are nothing more than a terrorist in a suit. Man, that's tough, isn't it? Oh, I was, whew. I had glory bumps on my glory bumps. Man, unbelievable. All right, also notice the creator of the scriptures. The creator. All scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. You see, not only is the word of God spirit and life, not only is the word of God spirit and life, but it comes to man from God. From God. I'm so glad this is not man's book. You know? And if it was man's book, we couldn't trust it.
Right.
Well, we just couldn't trust it. How's that poem go? I don't know if I can remember it. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive. and no crazy man could e'er conceive its wondrous plan. So pray, what other groups of men than do these three comprehend? So it must be that God inspired the souls and pens that prophets fired.
Amen.
Folks, it's got to be of God. There's no way that man could have done this. No way. Can I show you one thing? Let me show you one thing. This will blow you away. Go over to Isaiah for just a moment. The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. All right, let me find it here. Y'all talk among yourselves. Where was it? I know I've jumped right over, and I know I have. Oh, spell Isaiah for me. That's what I thought. You don't spell it J-E-R, do you? No. And don't anybody say it. You're getting old. What'd you just say?
8 days.
8 days. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, God bless you. All right, look, please, if you will. Look, if you will, at Isaiah 39. Isaiah 39. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 39. Now, here's the old golden-tongued prophet, Isaiah. And he is speaking to Hezekiah. And he said to him in verse 5, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts." All right, now get ready for this. Watch. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to where?
Babylon.
Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." Wow. You say, well, what's so cool about that? Well, I was hoping you'd ask. Here's what's cool about that. Isaiah made this promise, this prophecy, 200 years before it happened. Isaiah was dead when it happened. How do you like that? You say, well, that was a coincidence. Wasn't it an amazing coincidence, though? I mean, you got to admit, right? No, it wasn't a coincidence. God knew. God knew. He knew exactly what he was doing. All right, look, please, at chapter 43 for just a moment. Look at chapter 43. All right, look, please, at verse 5. Well, let's go back and get 3, all right? He said, "For I am the Lord," notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, thy God, the Holy One of Israel." Thy what?
Savior.
Thy Savior. "I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life." Now watch verse 5. "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed," you seeing that?
Yes.
"From the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. In other words, don't hold my people hostage or keep them from coming home. Let them go, all right? He said, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now you say, well, Pastor, what in the world is that all about? Well, this, verse 4, literally verse 4 through verse 13, is the prophecy that was given to Isaiah telling that the Jews would one day be brought back into the land that God had promised them. You remember the land that God promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Isaiah said that there's going to come a day. And he prophesied about that because it didn't happen. It didn't happen until 1948. But it did happen in 1948. Thanks to Harry Truman, who was our president at the time, and I hate to say this, but I think Roosevelt had a little to do with it as well. Credit where credit's due. But nonetheless, it happened. You say, boy, there's another coincidence. Okay. If that's the way you want to live, go ahead and believe that. It's not a coincidence. That's divine intervention. And God very clearly prophesied that the people would be sent back to the land. And that wasn't fulfilled until 1948. Let me show you one more. All right, look over, please, at chapter 44 of Isaiah. 44. Look, please. All right. I'll let you get there first, and then I want you to look up here. All right, everybody got it? All right, watch. Watch. Here's Isaiah back here. All right. Here's Isaiah back here. And then the Babylonians came. You remember the story. They breached the walls, and then they poured into Jerusalem. They destroyed houses, killed people, just left them laying in the streets. They pulled down barns. They stole everything they could get their mitts on. I mean, everything. And they took 10,000 young people and carried them back to Babylon. Now, they stayed in Babylon for 70 years. All right? So let's get 70 years go by. And let's remember that back over here, this is when Isaiah was speaking. Isaiah is dead and gone. All right? He is dead and gone. And here's what happened. Before he was dead and gone, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. You say, well, what's the big deal? You're missing the point. Here's Isaiah all the way over here, 200 years earlier. He's prophesying and he's saying that there is going to be a man by the name of Cyrus. That's not even a Jewish name. And he told Isaiah. Isaiah pinned it down. And don't you know that once they were in captivity and they were being held by the Babylonians, and then after that, the Medes and the Persians. And so it just so happened that the Medes and the Persians had a guy become king whose name was Cyrus. Well, what do you know? You say, well, there's another coincidence. Are you not convinced yet? Man, I mean, you know, could you have done that? Would you have even wanted to try? Well, people would laugh you to scorn, wouldn't they? And lo and behold, here is a guy that's appointed king, and his name is Cyrus. Just absolutely amazing, folks. Absolutely amazing. That's our God. And where else are you going to learn that? Where else are you going to learn that? All you need is a Bible. Amen. That's all you need. Man, that's cool, isn't it? Yes. Hey, you know what that means? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. No other book could do that. No other book could say that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I was preaching in the church out in Illinois that I pastored, and I preached that morning, and I made the statement that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this guy met me in the hallway, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, oh, okay, what's up? And he said, I think you lied this morning. And I said, you do? What did I lie about? And he said, well, you said that all of the Bible is the Word of God. I said, yes. He said, you said that all the Bible was God's Word. Yes. I said, so that's a lie? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, well, not all of the Bible is the Word of God. I said, well, what part's not? And he said, well, over there in Genesis 3, where it says, and the devil said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. And his argument was, that's not God's word, that's the devil's word. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question here. I don't understand something. I'm missing something. Maybe something's off and I'm not following you. You say that's the devil's word? Right. And I said, who was in the garden that day? And he said, well, Adam and Eve. I said, and who else? He said, well, the serpent was there. I said, yeah. But who else was there? Well, I don't know. Who else was there? I said, God was. I said, you know, all the Bible's the Word of God. And there is absolutely no way that we would have known what Satan said to Eve except God tell us what he said. And he just said, oh, you Baptists, and turned and walked away. He was mad. He was mad, but I got him. Thank the Lord for the fact that the Bible is God's word. It's all God's word. All right, let me show you one more thing before we go. Look over at Revelation 1. Revelation 1. This is so neat. I wish I didn't know this so I could learn it all over again. So good. All right, you got it? All right, look please, if you will, at verse 11. 11, the voice on the Lord's day, he heard a trumpet. He heard a great voice that sounded like a trumpet blast. And it said, saying, look here, I am Alpha and Omega. All right, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. All right, now notice that. I am Alpha and Omega. Now, we have this thing that we call the alphabet, but do you realize that every language has what they call an alphabet? That's how words are made. Don't forget, Jesus is the Word. Yeah. And so he said, I'm the Alpha, he's the A, and he's the Omega. Now, the Omega is not a car, all right? The Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So he said, I am the first and I am the last. All right, now look down, please, if you will, at verse 12. It says, and I turned to see the voice. Now, how do you see a voice? Huh? How do you see a voice? He turned to see the voice. Well, when he turned to see the voice that spake unto him, he saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. Now look at the next verse. All right, look up here first. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's first and he's last. But watch this. He's also in the midst. Wow. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
I mean, he, you know, I am a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's God. That's our God. That's our Savior. Isn't that amazing? So, listen, Christian, here's the point. You are never alone. You say, well, I just feel so alone. But you're not. Just open your spiritual eyes and you'll see the Lord Jesus right here.
Amen.
Right here. Well, I hope that helps you tonight. Folks, this book is great. That's my point. You can trust it. You can trust it. You have a need? The answer is in this book. You have a problem? The solution is in this book. When I was in junior high school, in the ninth grade, I had to take algebra. Oh my goodness! You know, they never have found that A. You know, never have found it, and they've been looking for it for eons. And it's not there. So give it up. All right? Think about it. But they gave us new textbooks. And I looked down at that textbook and I thought, all that just to learn algebra? Man, how deep is this subject? It's a huge book. And so I started leafing through the book and I thought, I've never seen any of this stuff. And I hadn't. And I kept going through and I got over to the back and it said, answers to the even numbered questions. Yes! Hallelujah! Looky here. Oh, I was so excited. And she come along and she said, you use that, I'm going to know it. She said, I'm going to know it. She said, you may get to the answer a couple of different ways. This is only one way to get there. And if you get there through this, I'm going to know it. Well, I was scared to even try, so I didn't. But folks, if you got a problem, all the answers are in here.
Amen. Yeah.
Not just the even problems or the odd problems, they're all right here. And you can claim those promises as yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. I just pray that you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Help us to understand this matter of inspiration, this matter of the Bible being the life of the Spirit. And Father, I just pray, thanking you for the Holy Spirit inspiring and authoring this book. And Father, who better to explain what's in the Bible than the person who inspired it, who wrote it? And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to just yield ourselves to your Spirit and sit down and read the Bible and let the Spirit of God be the teacher. And Father, just give us understanding of what we've heard tonight and give us a renewed love, a renewed passion for your precious word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.